The weekend sports scene doesn't slow down, and neither do we. This is On the Bench.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman. 7:06 is the time. We got a lot still to get into, lots of college football discussion. Big thank you to Chris Marler for joining me in the last one. We went a little long, but you know what? I always like going a little long with Chris. He's very entertaining, and he has great stuff, as always. Very knowledgeable in college football, so make sure you go give him a follow. And speaking of follows, I mean, I told you I'd shout out Twitter followers. Anybody who jumps on, at GChapATL on Twitter. At Bull Moose Pig, Chris Kelly, thank you for the follow. Wyatt Fulto, at Fulton W underscore. Wyatt Fulton there, thank you for the follows from both of you. And I promised, and I delivered. But we got a lot more college football to get into. If you want to get a shout-out on the radio, make sure to give me a follow at GChapATL. I remember, and I said it before, as Andy Bunker did that on the Bunker Mentality. And when he did that, I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm just going to go ahead and do that. I am not ashamed to do anything at this point. I am a radio host in my 20s trying to make ends meet at this point. And if I can get a Twitter following, that'll start it, right?
Build the brand, man.
About the brand. And speaking of the brand, my brand is college football. So, Dom Troska, what do you say we hit a college football roundtable?
It's time for our college football rundown with the College Football Roundtable.
With Off the Bench, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Oh, it feels so weird. Honestly, I made this imaging a little while ago, and you know, Saturdays on CBS... It's not going to be the same anymore. College football is changing, man. It's going to be the Big Ten now on CBS. But the music still just draws so much nostalgia, so I got to pull that one any chance I can. But you know what? I mean, it's one of the many things in college football that is coming to just change. You know, and that's the new reality in college football right now. And the newcomers in all of these conferences, I mean, it's weird. It's weird. But you know what? We got to discuss it, and I'm going to go through each conference and tell you which newcomers I think are going to find success quickest. And I talked to Chris Marler about this, specifically in the SEC, and that's where I'm going to start. And I'll talk about the two newcomers. I'm not going to talk about every team in every conference necessarily, but look, Oklahoma's got an over-under win totals that sits at 7.5, and I mean, that has everything to do with the schedule. It's tough. Tennessee on September 21st at Auburn after that, which they have never been to a place like that in the regular season. Texas on the 12th of October. And then, of course, you've got a road trip to Ole Miss, which is not necessarily a tough place to play, but that's going to be a tough team to play against. They finished the year at Missouri, then Alabama at home, and then at LSU. So you play in probably, in my opinion, the two toughest places to play in the SEC. That is a rude awakening for Oklahoma when they come to the SEC. But this is what Brent Venables was brought in specifically to do. It's to prepare for SEC football. He's totally resolute in his approach. And Jackson Arnold, I think, is going to come in and be a consistent starter for this team. And it's his second year as a starter. I mean, I shouldn't say that. He started the bowl game last year, and this is going to be his first full year as a starter for Oklahoma. And I don't think this is a team that's going to bottom out. I don't think this is a team that's going to find a ton of success either, but they're going to be solid. I think the 7.5 win total is kind of indicative of that. And, I mean, Deion Burks at wide receiver, he's coming in from Purdue, and he's going to be a game changer for this team, and they're going to have some dudes on this team. They're built up in such a way with Brent Venables that I think they're going to find some success. They'll be okay. The team that I'm really interested in, and much of the rest of the SEC is too, is Texas. The Longhorns have an over-under win total sitting at 10.5. I think that's a little rich until you look at their schedule. I talked to Chris Marler about it just now, and they don't really play anybody. I mean, it's Georgia. They get Georgia at home. And they go on the road to Texas A&M. Those are your two games. Like, those are your two big SEC games. Outside of that, it's a lot of Kentucky and Vanderbilt and Mississippi State and a lot of bleh, you know, and all due respect to those programs. Like, Stoops does a great job over there at Kentucky. Vanderbilt's a joke. But, you know, it's a difficult situation. Levy is going to be building up Mississippi State. They still got a little ways to go. Year one for his program. But the real difference maker is Steve Sarkisian and his pairing with Quinn Ewers. That's the reason why this is a reload program and not a rebuild program this year, despite all the losses that they have. I mean, they don't have a Xavier Worthy. They don't have anybody who can run a 4.25 40. They don't have an A.D. Mitchell, a guy with more playoff experience and big game experience than just about anybody in America. They lose those, and that's going to be a big deal. But the big question mark that I have for the Longhorns is the schedule is pedestrian, but I'm not going to go ahead and shower them in flowers here just because the schedule is kind of loose and they've got Quinn Ewers, right? They need a little bit more than that because this team saw last year that Quinn Ewers will get hurt. If he does get hurt this year, you're not going to have the benefit of bad football. They played some bad football in the middle of last year. You know, and look, I don't think that Texas is going to be able to sustain that over the long term if they have issues like that. Quinn Ewers has to be healthy. Quinn Ewers has to be Quinn Ewers in big games. And we saw what he was able to do. He was just a play or two away from really taking that next step and playing in a national championship game. Jury's out. And I'm very interested to see what Texas can do. I expect them to be in the SEC championship game next year, if for no other reason than the schedule is pretty pedestrian. In the Big 12, I think this is a conference that it's got some pretty awesome coaches, despite the stalwarts of Texas and Oklahoma leaving, and the Pac-12 defectors coming in. I mean, it makes it for a very interesting season. It's Kyle Whittingham at Utah, Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State, Lance Leopold at Kansas, Matt Campbell, Chris Klieman, and now Deion Sanders and guys like that. And Sony Dykes just played in a national championship a little while back. And I just don't feel a championship from this conference is possible right now after the reformation of the playoff. And you might say, Garrett, they're guaranteed a spot. They're a top four, power four team, right? Well, I guess. I mean, they're going to be one of the five highest rated conference champions. But do you really think that this is a conference that, for as long as the playoff has been around, they haven't been able to win two games? And you expect them to win four? Like, it's just not, I just don't see how that really happens. But, I mean, if we're going through this, I mean, Kansas, Kansas State, that's really the class of the conference of teams that are returning right now. It doesn't say a whole lot. Chris Klieman, of course, is pretty good. And Jalen Daniels and Leopold, what they've done, is they've improved every year. They're really good. But the team I'm looking at most is Utah. I mean, look, Kyle Whittingham is probably the best coach in America. And he's won two of the last three Pac-12 titles. They're 8-5, despite starting as safety at running back. And they went an entire season without Cam Rising, a quarterback. And I mean, I got a lot of questions for that team, but they're rock solid, you know? I mean, it's a team who I know is going to come in and be pretty good. And another team is Arizona. They're intriguing to me. And it just comes down to the quarterback position. It's Noah Fifita. He's the best quarterback in America that nobody's talking about, at least talking about enough. I mean, he was at Arizona last year, and he comes in for an injured starter and all of a sudden reels off. He loses two games and then reels off seven straight. Those two that he lost, by the way, are to Caleb Williams and to Michael Penix Jr. And he went throw for throw and went all the way up to the very end. The last plays of those games, Noah Fifita almost had him. And that's a team with him and McMillan. That's the best wide receiver duo or wide receiver quarterback duo that nobody is talking enough about. That team is going to be good on offense. They got questions on defense. And then the other big team is Colorado. They're entertaining, right? They're interesting in that fact. But they finished 11th in the preseason poll. They get a ton of hype, and they're going to be their talent acquisition is as good as anybody in that conference, if not better. I'd say that they're probably the best as far as talent acquisition. It's kind of a low bar, really, if we're being honest. But look, they're volatile. I don't know what to expect from them next year. Maybe they'll take that next step. Maybe they won't. I fully expect this team to maybe win five or six games. But as far as winning a conference and making a big splash, I don't see that. But lastly, the Big Ten. This is still a wildly top-heavy conference, you know? I mean, it's Ohio State, it's Michigan, and at best, it's one other team on any given season, right? Ohio State, I mean, that's a team that you expect to win 10 games. They're going to come out, and I expect them to be competing for a national championship. It's them and Georgia as the two best teams in America. I think Michigan's going to take a step back. A team that steps up, I think, is going to be a Penn State. I mean, you could find somebody else there. Wisconsin's kind of a wild card there for me, but you know, one team that I think as a newcomer is Oregon. And Oregon was built for this moment. Oregon has the trenches to really compete on a week-to-week basis, something that Washington, something that USC, something that UCLA just don't have. Oregon and under Dan Lanning has done a masterful job at developing and bringing in elite talent. And I'm talking on the trenches, or in the trenches. Bringing in, they're too deep on that offensive line. They're too deep. And look, last year they were second in FBS in scoring. They scored a lot of points, man. And that's, and you're losing some talent, right? They're losing some guys. But Dylan Gabriel's coming in. Tess Johnson, who's ironically Bo Nix's adopted brother, he's still there. He had a breakout year last year, 86 receptions, which was a school record. He's going to step up in the wake of Troy Franklin moving on. And much like him, Jordan James, 759 yards, 11 touchdowns for him. He's going to come in and replace Bucky Irving. And look, I have a lot of confidence in what the Ducks are going to do. That game against Ohio State is going to be big. But outside of that, they just have stuff that UCLA, USC, and Washington just don't. You know, and I'm really interested in Oregon. They're built to contend. They're built to contend right now. And in a way that I don't even feel like Texas is built to contend in the SEC. Oregon is the most prepared right now today than any other newcomer in college football. I'm really excited to see what they can do. He's still scratching the surface, and if he can take that next step, the head coach, then they'll be right up there with Ohio State when it's all said and done. But when we get back, the Hawks, we're going to switch gears. They debuted their first number one pick in franchise history over the weekend. We'll welcome in someone who saw that live, Caleb Johnson, my other half of the Dopey Millennials. We'll talk some Hawks with him when we get back. You're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Off the Bench
is on
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dom Cherovski taking care of us on the board here, as he always does. Welcome back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, you're coming off the bench with me. But before we were doing that, I was one half of the Dopey Millennials. And the other half of the Dopey Millennials is going to join me on the WadeFord.com hotline. He is out in Las Vegas covering our Atlanta Hawks. Caleb Johnson, how you doing, buddy?
I am I'm good, but I'm hot because the only place that I could find currently that is quiet enough and that I wouldn't be disturbing someone else is to stand out in I think it's 108 right now. So
oh my god,
that I'm that shows you how much I care for you, Garrett. That I wanted to make sure that we had good audio to go. So I'm standing outside, but yeah, no, it's been interesting first time in Vegas. But the basketball side of things, very, very positive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely was. I mean, before we jump into it, I mean, this is your first time to Vegas. We talked about it the last week when you told me that you were going out there. But what are the highlights for you so far, man? What have you been getting into?
All right, so I've done a lot of the standard, typical walking the strip. Last night went out to the old part of Las Vegas.
Old Town, the downtown Vegas.
Yeah, Old Town. There we go.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've gotten to see a little bit of everything. Honestly, the highlight for me is far less the attractions and all of those sorts of things because I'm not a big gambler. I'm not a big drinker. And so I'm not a partier really either. Like those days are long in the past. So for me, it's been about meeting people and just all the kind of cool interactions that I've ended up with and have already met some people that I feel like are going to be friends in the future, which, you know, when you work in our business, Garrett, you know as much as I do, mm-hmm. meeting people that you're like, hey, I do a radio show. Would you come on like maybe a month from now or something like that? And they're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. As well as I also met Andy Bunker's former producer, who
no
is
way.
Now big time. Absolutely. Yeah. Danny, he is in Portland still, but he's a big time man in the know. And so it feels like it's really been a small world.
That's fantastic. Well, Caleb, I'm thrilled that you're out there, man. I mean, first time in Vegas is always a fantastic time, but then being out there for an event like this with the amount of personalities that have been out there, I mean, it's an awesome experience. And trust me, I completely understand when, I mean, we talked a little bit about it when we were texting back and forth last night. I mean, it's I mean, it's the same way I feel about going to things like SEC Media Days or ACC, the college football stuff. And
absolutely.
You know, and you build some contacts, and that's the best way to do it. So make sure to hold on to that Rolodex and keep building that thing out. But transitioning to the Atlanta Hawks, man, I mean, look, this team doesn't really have a lot of stuff to get excited about for this upcoming season. And I mean, but the biggest thing that they do have in 2024 is that number one overall pick. And look, Zachary Richechet looks the part. And I don't want to get too over my – I don't want to put – go head over heels for it right now, but he looked pretty damn good on Friday night.
Yeah, Garrett, it was – first off, I love the fact that the way that they have media set up at Summer League, I had a great, like, courtside view of everything going down, which really helps on the media side because you can hear conversations like the fact that Alex Saar and Mo Gay were – they had some choice words for each other in French – which was a pretty interesting battle. But when it comes to Richechet, I mean, the guy, you're right. He looks the part. He looks exactly what you were hoping to get with the number one overall pick, a guy who is strong defensively, especially on the point of attack. And then offensively, he's maybe not the guy to have the ball in his hands, but he is making plays. And it felt like the thing that I appreciated from seeing his game in this first one, and we'll see how things progress tonight coming up in, what, about 30 minutes from now. But it was just the fact of it felt like he kept making the right play. And even to the point of, you know, I had been pretty bold in the past of saying nothing about Zach's game is really that flashy. And then he goes over Alex Saar and throws down a left-handed dunk. And so you're like, okay, sir, like, I feel like, you know, this is something that Hawks fans can get behind. And now I had heard from some other media who were like, well, I hope fans, you know, Hawks fans don't get too excited and have the expectations too big. And I'm like, look, I'm so used to it being the opposite direction of Hawks fans just being like, well, there's nothing to get really excited about. But Zachary Richechet and honestly, Nikola Jurčić he's another one who, yeah. Dude's just like a fiery ball of energy, always trying to make a play. And it seems like right now in his developmental process that he can't always make the plays that he is trying to. But I think when his physical abilities kind of catch up with what's going on between his ears, man, that's going to be a really scary player. So it feels like it's been an exciting, you know, introduction to this new version of a Hawks team who can actually defend people.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that this team desperately needs, especially on the wing. And look, I mean, I've said it on the show, I've said it many times, I've said it on the Steakhouse, I say wings win championships. In this modern day of the NBA, you need a dynamic, dominant wing who's going to come in and provide some of that for you. And it remains to be seen. The jury's still out. I mean, he has all the traits. They're there. And we got a flash of it on Friday. And look, that's obviously it's not going to be your NBA competition, and that's going to ramp heavily up. And he's going to have a learning curve when he does get to the NBA and like in the fall. And like, he's not somebody who I expect to go play for the Skyhawks or anything like that. This is a guy who's going to be a day one contributor for the Atlanta Hawks. But as far as what you saw on Friday and what you've heard from the front office and everything else and all of the discussions after the pick, what sort of things do you think that this guy still needs to work on as we build up to the season?
Well, the thing about Zachary Richechet that I think fans are, if they don't already know, are going to like more about him is this guy does not shy away from being honest about himself. Like, yes, he is aware that his English is not very strong, and so he does, you know, the best to his ability. But when it comes to what he's actually doing out on the floor, I asked him about, hey, you know, one of the things that maybe didn't go so particularly well against Washington was the fact of some of their bigger bodies were able to kind of out-muscle him. And Zach's very open, and I think Landry Fields has also been very open about, hey, the guy is 19 years old. Yeah. He is going to be 19 until next April. And so because of that, we know he is undersized currently. Like, we all remember that was a time – you know, for a guy like Kevin Durant, who came in the league and was a twig. And so I think that's something that he told me when I asked him about, you know, how did you feel you handled some of these bigger defenders? And he was like, I thought I handled it pretty well, but I know I've got a lot of room to grow and I got a lot of muscle to put on to improve and get better. And so I think that's the thing that we're going to get to watch from Zach over these next couple of years, is him putting on that weight and that part of his game expanding.
Caleb Johnson joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta Hawks insider for the station, also the host of The Dopey Millennial, and he will be back here in Atlanta coming up here soon. So, but one other guy who I was keeping an eye on, and he really impressed, was Mo Gay. And he's somebody who, I mean, he dealt with a lot of injuries last year, only played 6 games for the Hawks last year. But look, he looked good. And is that a guy who, I mean, this team maybe might make a move in the front court? In the rest of this offseason, that remains to be seen, but is that a guy that you think it could carve out some minutes or a role for himself on the first team?
You know, it feels like there is so much potential there with Mo because of his height and the fact that, you know, he's not really a true five. He's more of a power forward, a four guy.
Yeah.
And he's someone who can shoot the ball. And so these are all a skill set that you want to have from a seven-footer. So with that, there is a lot to like from Mo. Also, what we saw in that first game that hopefully chills out a little bit tonight is that man kept hitting the deck, and I asked Mo about that. I was like, you know, you kind of kept taking some pretty hard falls to the floor. It was like, are you okay? And, you know, is that something you kind of want to continue? And from Mo's perspective, is he's like, look, I want to play hard every single play. And so if I've got to, you know, give up my body a little bit, you know, that's what it requires. And I think, you know, maybe coaching staff and the front office is like, hey, save that for the regular season. But, I mean, definitely just because of the way this roster is put together, Mo's going to be a part of that bench going forward for the Hawks. And I think there's a lot of exciting, you know, things to like about Mo. It's just, it's going to be a little bit slower than I think people would like. Just because this is a guy who I think this is his fourth year playing basketball ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, very new to the game, but it's picked it up so well. And his personality is just incredible. He's so much fun to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's somebody who I know a lot of people are going to be rooting for as the season picks up. And I mean, I think I love the energy. I love the passion. I love him. I mean, he hit the deck a lot, like you said. But look, the dude's fighting for a roster spot. So I understand the aggression there. But as far as, I alluded to it in the last question, but the offseason still has a little ways to go, I mean, until we ramp up in October. But do you think that this team is going to make any more moves at this stage? I mean, they made the DeJounte Murray move. Think what you will about that. But I felt like there was going to be something else that was going to happen, but nothing else has happened. Do you see the same thing, or what are your thoughts?
You know, I mean, right now the roster is full. Like Landry Fields, when we spoke to him earlier this week, said they're in a bit of a roster crunch because, you know, a guy, as much as there's some excitement over Nikola Jurčić, like right now he doesn't have a spot currently on this team. And so when it comes to adding, the only way this team is really going to add is through a trade. I think there is one specific player that I've been looking at to see, you know, depending on how Zach progresses through summer league, through the off season, and depending on what the trade market is. I think DeAndre Hunter is someone who could be on the move if the Hawks wanted to switch something up and maybe get some assets for down the road. But as far as the roster really seeing, you know, any changes, now I think this is who we're going to see moving forward for the Hawks, just as it's not necessarily exciting because they don't have another big name next to Trey like they had with DeJounte Murray. However, getting the Dyson Daniels, getting the Zachary Risacher, improving the defense of this team is going to actually make them better. And so there will actually be more pressure on a guy like Trey and his scoring, and hopefully, you know, getting some of these other guys to be consistent contributors, as we know Bogey and amongst others can be. I don't really see a whole lot of changes moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of is what I've been feeling. You know, I mean, maybe the DeAndre move makes sense and maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, look, the big move that had to happen was DeJounte Murray or Trae Young, and the team made their decision. And I think they made the right one, but the pressure's on for Trae Young. I said last week that he has more pressure on him than any other athlete in the city, you know, and I mean, look, it's all on Trey at this point, and let's see what he can do with it. But coverage continues tonight. Game starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time, so we're about 20 minutes away from that one. And Caleb, of course, is going to have all the coverage at ATLJohnson18 on Twitter, so make sure to give him a follow there. But Caleb Johnson, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely, man. You have a good one.
All right, brother. Enjoy the rest of your trip out there on the West Coast, out there in Las Vegas, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I love Vegas. It's one of my favorite cities, and I know Caleb's having a great time and building up that Rolodex. That's super important for us millennials, man. So the other half of the Dopey Millennials having a great time out there in Vegas. So thank you to Caleb Johnson for joining me there. But when we get back, I got another millennial who's going to jump in here, Dom Trotsky. We got a producer AMA, and maybe we'll hear from Grant McCauley. He'll be coming up after this. Lots to get to right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman. More to come.
Now more from Garrett Chapman with Off the Bench.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Conductor, conductor.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman here in studio. Just got our first look at Grant McCauley, and he'll be coming up here in about 20 minutes when we hand it over to him for From the Diamond. Talk a little Braves, who did go out and get a big win, one that they really needed. They moved to 53 wins and 42 losses to cap off the first half of the season. They're now 8 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies, who did lose today in a blowout fashion to the Oakland A's, if you can believe that. I mean, if you can even call them the Oakland A's anymore. But look, huge, huge game for the Atlanta Braves. And look, they get back on schedule, and Travis d'Arnaud comes in and he hits 2 home runs, and the bats get going. And that's really the biggest thing. Chris Sale looks pretty good, and Austin Riley looks fantastic at third base, as he always does, as you've really come to expect. And I think the Braves are pretty well set up for a strong second half. And I think it all comes down to the way that Spencer Schwellenbach is pitching. I'd like to see a little bit more from the rotation, not named Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, and Max Fried. You know, and Charlie, as Randy McMichael likes to call him. You know, I want to see a little bit more from him, man. I need him to step up and eat some innings. And maybe that's just going to be his role going forward. But, I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more. And of course, you're going to get all of this and more from Grant McCauley with From the Diamond. And the MLB draft is also happening right now. Charlie Condon was not the first overall pick, which, I mean, color me surprised. I mean, he had one of the best hitting seasons in recent memory, you know, and for the Georgia Bulldogs this year. And, I mean, he was basically a shoe-in for a home run every other time he came up. But he's going to go play for the Rockies. I think that's a great spot for him, if I'm being completely honest. I mean, he's going to hit a lot of home runs over there at Coors Field. But look, MLB draft is ongoing. And again, Grant McCauley is probably the best person you could possibly have on after the Braves finished up their first half of their season. As we're in the midst of the MLB draft, lots to get to for Grant McCauley. So make sure you stick around for him. Also, one quick shout out that I do want to make, and I remissed that I didn't start the show with this, but it's my older brother's birthday today. And happy birthday, Carter. That's my big brother right there, and I mean, he's up there in Nashville, Tennessee, celebrating with his wife and daughter. And love you guys. I hope to come celebrate you guys soon. But look, I got to bring in Dom Trotsky here, because let's get into a producer AMA.
Yes, sir.
So come on in, man. What you got?
So obviously, there's a few questions that I want to ask you, because I just haven't gotten the opportunity to ask them to you directly.
Let's go.
So
that's why I do this too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly why.
So first up, obviously, college football, video games coming out in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited. We're all super excited. If you're one of the people who got the pre-order, you'll be able to play it in 2 days. Everyone else will have to wait about 5 or something like that. But my question to you, because I know you are a huge college football fan.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been looking forward to this. My question to you, it's kind of a two-parter. One, when you make your own character, what is your go-to position? Which position do you typically play? And when you build your dynasty, which team will you start with?
That's such a great question. No, that's so true. And I've actually been thinking about this for a really long time. And, you know, I'm not really a big gamer, if you can believe
right,
it.
Right.
It's not something that I just don't have time. Like, that's the biggest
yes.
thing.
Yes.
But the thing is with this game coming out, it's hard to put into words how important. I've talked to the steakhouse about this, and they just don't get it. They just don't.
Yeah,
I love them, but they don't get it. That game was so important to so many people, and when it goes away, when it went away, that was just a gut punch. That was always the game that I played ad nauseum. It was a game that I played all through high school. I played all through college. Just NCAA 13. I didn't play 14. I couldn't get my hands on it, but so I played NCAA 13. But you know, when I was a kid, so it's like, and that's where, to answer your first question, it's like, when I was a kid, I mean, you're a kid playing. I always played as a running back.
Okay, so you know, it's funny. I said the same thing. Like, growing up, I was always a running back. Like, I wanted to be a running back when I was a kid. That was a position I always wanted to play.
It's true. And I played running back in high school. Like, that when I played football, I was a running back. I just never had the desire to be a quarterback. And I'll always go out and make a quarterback. I mean, of course you
are.
Yeah,
of course.
I'll go make a wide receiver, too. But playing a wide receiver is not very fun. You never play as a defender. If you play as a defender, you're a little crazy.
I'm a little crazy. I like playing as a corner every once in a while.
I've definitely done it a few times.
Corner or linebacker.
I'll be an edge rusher or something, maybe a linebacker, and then I just blitz randomly.
Exactly.
The thing is, I can only do that for so long before I get kind of bored with it. But it's like that. At the end of the day, it's like it's such a fun game, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll probably, the first thing that I do if I end up buying an Xbox, which I might end up doing, just to play this game. I might make it a PlayStation. I'm not sure yet, but if and when that does happen, I think it'll probably be a running back. Just because I love the ground and pound of college football.
Absolutely.
I love that. Throwing the ball is overrated in college football anyway. Who cares? But, and then if we go to rebuilding teams, I mean, that's also a great question. My alma mater is Georgia Southern. That's my first one that I'm going to do.
Same. So I was going to say, I'm going to do the same thing with Georgia State.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good one just because it's kind of an air raid team. Clay Helton's down there, and the offense is fun to play with. And then you're in Georgia. There's a recruiting hotbed. You're in the Sun Belt, which is a fun conference, and you're a Group of Five team. If you go in and play as Georgia, lame.
Okay.
Texas, that's lame.
Because I was just about to say, are you one of the people who like you just take over a team that's already great, and then you just like, oh yeah, I built up a champion. That's not how you do dynasty. You're supposed
Absolutely
to take some bottom of the barrel.
You have to
just go grab some team that has no shot. Just absolutely run down, and you build them up. That's what you're supposed to do.
I did Eastern Michigan. That was one that I used to always do when I was in when I was younger, and I would always play as Eastern Michigan. That was always one. If it's a Cardinal Direction school, I would play with them a lot. But any team in the MAC is also just a lot of fun.
I typically always try and do at least one run through with like an HBCU or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll have those in this game. Are we going to have HBCUs in this one?
Ooh, actually, I believe so. I would have to assume.
Maybe. Well, they're an FCS team, so that's why I
asked. That's true.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely worth looking up. So we'll get back to you on that one. But look, I mean, as far as going through other teams, I would always play as Georgia. But also the Georgia teams when I was playing the game, like in 2011, 2012, like those were good Georgia teams, but they were never like a really elite team. You know, like they were always the Hall of Very Good, right? Like when Mark Richt was there, and the team was like the back half of the top 25 or something like that. So it still needed a little bit of building and coming up and everything else. But I was just a Georgia fan, so that was just what I used to do with that. But look, as far as rebuilding a team, Georgia Southern's number one on that list. And then maybe like a Vanderbilt? I don't know. I feel like that's going to be – that's
Vanderbilt's interesting.
That's just tough.
Yeah.
I like a Group of Five team, like a team that really needs to get up off the mat.
Yeah,
something like that. Maybe BYU
Absolutely.
Or something like that. Maybe if you're doing a Power Four team.
I've heard. I just seen some people who was going through. Like there were some other schools that they brought up that were good to start with Dynasty. Like I think James Madison came up as a squad.
JMU's a great one.
That would be
go
really
Dukes,
good.
Man. Yeah. Another Sun Belt team. Any team in the MAC, any team in the Sun Belt, I think you'll be in very good shape.
Yeah.
American Conference. Oh, I mean not the American. The Conference USA. That's not a very good conference at all, but you know you can jump on top of it and dominate it pretty quickly. So that could be a good one too.
When you do it, are you gonna go forward with all of the realignment, or are you gonna go full crazy and you know what, we're taking it back, we're going to the old alignment
because
you can change all that stuff.
If I did that, I would go back and I'm gonna go with the current alignment to start.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm being honest, in a perfect world, I would go in and realign the conferences before Missouri and Texas A&M joining the SEC.
Okay.
I just think it's dirty. I think Texas A&M and Missouri are fine. Like, look, this is no shade towards them. They're not SEC teams. I mean, Texas A&M more than Missouri, but Missouri's not an SEC team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not. I don't see them that way. They've been in the division of the Eastern Conference, which is now dissolved, but they've been in the SEC now for what, a decade, and they still feel like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. I'd go back and, I mean, the Big 12 makes sense with Colorado in it, because that feels like kind of the way it's supposed to be. The Big mm-hmm. 10, Rutgers, who cares about Rutgers? I'm not really going to change anything there. That's kind of that's a team you could actually jump into. Greg Schiano's the coach out there. He's putting together, I mean, Rutgers could actually put together a pretty good team right now. But no, I mean, no, I'm fascinated. And like, look, you've just unlocked this in my brain. So now I'm just, the gears are turning.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why we do these things. But that's a tremendous question. That's really good. Who's on yours?
Like I said, when I start, I'm definitely going to do a running back. As far as which school I'll do, I actually kind of do want to. I'm going to hop on the Colorado train. So my first playthrough, I'm absolutely going to make a running back that goes to Colorado, and then we'll see what happens with Coach Dion there.
Okay.
And then, like I said,
Shooter Sanders and company.
Yeah. And then, but like I said, I'm definitely got to do one for the alma mater. So I'm definitely going to do one for Georgia State and just try and build that team up and go from there. It'll be fun.
That's definitely going to be fun. Hey, Hail Southern.
State, never Southern. Anyways. To end things here, because I know we got to get out in a few minutes, one last question. We talked about House of Dragons tonight.
Mm-hmm.
New episode coming out. Super excited for that. My question to you, if you were in the Game of Thrones universe,
ooh,
which house would you like to be a part of?
Ooh.
You know, that's a great Stark? Question. Are you a Lannister? A Targaryen?
I mean, I want to be a Targaryen. I want to fly some dragons, man. Come on. I feel like that's the that's the layup, right?
That's the layup. Take the dragons out of it. Take their pets out of it, right? So not necessarily.
I'd probably be a Hightower or something, you know, because they live in. No, because they live in. They have luxury, man.
Hightower's not bad.
They live in luxury. Lannisters
live in luxury too, but they're just evil people.
Yeah, they're just evil, so I don't want to deal with them. I don't like bad people, so. You know, I mean, the Hightowers aren't exactly good people either. But it's like, if we're being honest, I mean, I feel like they live a kind of a comfy life. They're down in their, what is it, Highgarden? If your capital city is Highgarden, sounds kind of like you live
sounds
a comfy
Now more from Garrett Chapman with Off the Bench.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Conductor.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman here in studio. Just got our first look at Grant McCauley, and he'll be coming up here in about 20 minutes when we hand it over to him for From the Diamond. Talk a little Braves, who did go out and get a big win, one that they really needed. They moved to 53 wins and 42 losses to cap off the first half of the season. They're now 8 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies, who did lose today in a blowout fashion to the Oakland A's, if you can believe that. I mean, if you can even call them the Oakland A's anymore. But look, huge, huge game for the Atlanta Braves. And look, they get back on schedule, and Travis d'Arnaud comes in and he hits 2 home runs, and the bats get going. And that's really the biggest thing. Chris Sale looks pretty good, and Austin Riley looks fantastic at third base, as he always does, as you've really come to expect. And I think the Braves are pretty well set up for a strong second half. And I think it all comes down to the way that Spencer Schwellenbach is pitching. I'd like to see a little bit more from the rotation, not named Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, and Max Fried. You know, and Charlie, as Randy McMichael likes to call him. You know, I want to see a little bit more from him, man. I need him to step up and eat some innings. And maybe that's just going to be his role going forward. But, I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more. And of course, you're going to get all of this and more from Grant McCauley with From the Diamond. And the MLB draft is also happening right now. Charlie Condon was not the first overall pick, which, I mean, color me surprised. I mean, he had one of the best hitting seasons in recent memory, you know, and for the Georgia Bulldogs this year. And, I mean, he was basically a shoe-in for a home run every other time he came up. But he's going to go play for the Rockies. I think that's a great spot for him, if I'm being completely honest. I mean, he's going to hit a lot of home runs over there at Coors Field. But look, MLB draft is ongoing. And again, Grant McCauley is probably the best person you could possibly have on. After the Braves finished up their first half of their season, as we're in the midst of the MLB draft, lots to get to for Grant McCauley. So make sure you stick around for him. Also, one quick shout-out that I do want to make, and I'm remiss that I didn't start the show with this, but it's my older brother's birthday today. And happy birthday, Carter. That's my big brother right there. And, I mean, he's up there in Nashville, Tennessee, celebrating with his wife and daughter. And love you guys. I hope to come celebrate you guys soon. But, look, I got to bring in Dom Tarosky here because let's get into a producer AMA.
Yes, sir.
So come on in, man. What you got?
So, obviously, there's a few questions that I want to ask you because I just haven't gotten the opportunity to ask them to you directly.
Let's go.
So
that's why I do this, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly why.
So, first up, obviously, college football, video games coming out in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited. We're all super excited. If you're one of the people who got the pre-order, you'll be able to play it in 2 days. Everyone else will have to wait about five or something like that. But my question to you, because I know you are a huge college football fan.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been looking forward to this. My question to you, it's kind of a two-parter. One, when you make your own character, what is your go-to position? Which position do you typically play? And when you build your dynasty, which team will you start with?
That's such a great question. No, that's so true. And I've actually been thinking about this for a really long time. And, you know, I'm not really a big gamer, if you can believe
right,
it.
Right,
it's not something that I just don't have time. Like, that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
But the thing is, with this game coming out, it's hard to put into words how important. I've talked to the steakhouse about this, and they just don't get it. They just don't.
Yeah.
I love them, but they don't get it. That game was so important to so many people. And when it goes away, when it went away, that was just a gut punch. That was always the game that I played ad nauseum. It was a game that I played all through high school. I played all through college. Just NCAA 13. I didn't play 14. I couldn't get my hands on it. But so I played NCAA 13. But, you know, when I was a kid, so it's like, and that's where, to answer your first question, it's like, when I was a kid, I mean, you're a kid playing, I always played as a running back.
Okay, so, you know, it's funny, I said the same thing. Like, growing up, I was always a running back. Like, I wanted to be a running back when I was a kid. That was a position I always wanted to play.
It's true, and I played running back in high school. Like, that when I played football, I was a running back. I just never had the desire to be a quarterback. And I'll always go out and make a quarterback. I mean, of course you are.
Yeah, of course.
I'll go make a wide receiver, too, but playing a wide receiver is not very fun. You never play as a defender. If you play as a defender, you're a little crazy.
I'm a little crazy. I like playing as a corner every once in a while.
I've definitely done it a few times.
Corner or linebacker.
I'll be an edge rusher or something, maybe a linebacker, and then I just blitz randomly.
Exactly.
The thing is, I can only do that for so long before I get kind of bored with it. But it's like that. At the end of the day, it's like it's such a fun game, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll probably, the first thing that I do if I end up buying an Xbox, which I might end up doing, just to play this game, I might get a PlayStation. I'm not sure yet. But if and when that does happen, I think it'll probably be a running back just because I love the ground and pound of college football.
Absolutely.
I love that. Throwing the ball is overrated in college football anyway. And who cares? But, and then if we go to rebuilding teams, I mean, that's also a great question. My alma mater is Georgia Southern. That's my first one that I'm going to do.
So I was going to say, I'm going to do the same thing with Georgia State.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good one just because it's kind of an air raid team. Clay Helton's down there, and the offense is fun to play with. And then you're in Georgia. There's a recruiting hotbed. You're in the Sun Belt, which is a fun conference. And you're a group of five team. If you go in and play as Georgia, lame.
Okay.
Texas, that's lame.
Because I was just about to say, are you one of the people who, like, you just take over a team that's already great, and then you're just like, oh, yeah, I built up a champion. That's not how you do Dynasty. You're supposed
Absolutely
to take some bottom of the barrel.
You have to.
Like, just go grab some team that has no shot, just absolutely run down, and you build them up. That's what you're supposed to do.
I did Eastern Michigan. That was one that I used to always do when I was in when I was younger, and I would always play as Eastern Michigan. That was always one. If it's a Cardinal Direction school, I would play with them a lot. But any team in the MAC is also just a lot of fun.
I typically always try and do at least one run through with like an HBCU or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll have those in this game. Are we going to have HBCUs this one?
Ooh, actually, I believe so. I would have to assume.
Maybe. Well, they're an FCS team, so that's why I
asked.
That's true. Maybe. I mean, that's definitely worth looking up. So we'll get back to you on that one. But Look, I mean, as far as going through other teams, I would always play as Georgia, but also the Georgia teams when I was playing the game, like in 2011, 2012. Like, those were good Georgia teams, but they were never, like, a really elite team, you know? Like, they were always the Hall of Very Good, right? Like, when Mark Richt was there, and the team was, like, in, like, the back half of the top 25 or something like that. So it still needed a little bit of building and coming up and everything else. But I was just a Georgia fan, so that was just what I used to do with that. But, look, as far as rebuilding a team, Georgia Southern's number one on that list. And then maybe, like, a Vanderbilt? I don't know. I feel like that's going to be – that's
Vanderbilt's interesting.
That's just tough.
Yeah.
I like a group of five team, like a team that really needs to get up off the mat.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe BYU Absolutely. Or something like that. Maybe
yeah,
another, if you're doing a power four team.
I've heard, I just seen some people who was going through, like there were some other schools that they brought up that were good to start with Dynasty. Like I think James Madison came up as a squad.
JMU's a great one.
That would be
Go
really
Dukes,
good.
Man. Yeah. Another Sun Belt team. Any team in the MAC, any team in the Sun Belt, I think you'll be in very good shape.
Yeah.
American Conference, too. I mean, not the American, the Conference USA. That's not a very good conference at all, but you know, you can jump on top of it and dominate it pretty quickly. So that could be a good one too.
When you do it, are you gonna go forward with all of the realignment, or are you gonna go full crazy and like,
Ooh.
You know what, we're taking it back, we're going to the old alignment,
because
you can change all that stuff.
If I did that, I would go back and I'm going to go with the current alignment to start,
uh-huh.
But if I'm being honest, in a perfect world, I would go in and realign the conferences before Missouri and Texas A&M joined the SEC.
Okay.
I just think it's dirty. I think Texas A&M and Missouri are fine. Like, look, this is no shade towards them. They're not SEC teams. I mean, Texas A&M more than Missouri, but Missouri's not an SEC team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not. I don't see them that way. They've been in the division of the Eastern Conference, which is now dissolved, but they've been in the SEC now for what, a decade, and they still feel like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah,
and yeah. I don't know. I'd go back and, I mean, the Big 12 makes sense with Colorado in it, because that feels like kind of the way it's supposed to be. The Big mm-hmm. 10, Rutgers. Who cares about Rutgers? I'm not really going to change anything there. That's kind of that's a team you could actually jump into. Greg Schiano's the coach out there. He's putting together, I mean, Rutgers could actually put together a pretty good team right now. But no, I mean, no, I'm fascinated. And like, look, you've just unlocked this in my brain. So now I'm just, the gears are turning.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why we do these things. But that's a tremendous question. That's really good. Who's on yours?
Like I said, when I start, I'm definitely going to do a running back. As far as which school I'll do, I actually kind of do want to. I'm going to hop on the Colorado train. So my first playthrough, I'm absolutely going to make a running back that goes to Colorado, and then we'll see what happens with Coach Dion there.
Okay.
And then, like I said,
Shooter Sanders and company.
Yeah. And then, but like I said, I'm definitely, you got to do one for the alma mater. So I'm definitely going to do one for Georgia State and just try and build that team
there
up and go from there. It'll be fun.
That's definitely going to be fun. Hey, hail Southern.
State, never Southern. Anyways. To end things here, because I know we got to get out in a few minutes, one last question. We talked about House of Dragons tonight, new episode coming out. Super excited for that. My question to you, if you were in the Game of Thrones universe,
Ooh.
Which house would you like to be a part of?
Ooh.
You know,
that's
a
great
Stark?
Question.
Are you a Lannister? A Targaryen?
I mean, I want to be a Targaryen. I want to fly some dragons, man. Come on. I feel like that's the that's the layup, right?
That's the layup. Take the dragons out of it. Take their pets out of it, right? So not necessarily.
I'd probably be a Hightower or something, you
really?
Know, because they live in. No, because they live in. They're luxury, man.
Hightower's not bad.
They live in luxury. Lannisters
live in luxury too, but they're just evil people.
Yeah, they're just evil, so I don't want to deal with them. I don't like bad people, so. You know, I mean, the Hightowers aren't exactly good people either. But it's like, if we're being honest, I mean, I feel like they live a kind of a comfy life. They're down in their, what is it, Highgarden? If your capital city is Highgarden, sounds kind of like you live
sounds
a
special.
Comfortable life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in a place that nothing is really comfortable, like everyone would say, oh, I want to be a Stark or whatever. Hell no, you don't.
Winterfell is not the coziest of places.
It's not really cozy. You know, there's a reason they wear like 15 layers of wolf's hide.
Yeah, they got the dire wolves for a reason.
Yeah. No, that's a good question, though. Where are you going?
A little niche, and it's maybe just because he was one of my favorite characters, Oberyn Martell.
Oh.
Even though he was... Prince Oberyn, he was my guy. I loved him even though he was in their first season. So I'd probably be with the Martells. They also just seemed super fun and like laid back and cool.
You might have got me to change my answer there. That's a really good poll. I like that one too. Scene with the mountain.
Awesome. Just
unbelievable, by the way. That's the epitome of Game of Thrones.
As the kids like to say, Prince Oberyn had a lot of riz.
Sure did, man. Yeah, he also he had a little too much confidence too at the end. But look, I know I'm looking forward to House of the Dragon. It's gonna be another fantastic episode tonight. If it one ups what we saw last week, then we are in for a doozy, and I know that we will be. I mean, look, I was a huge Game of Thrones fan. I'm a huge House of the Dragon fan, and we're in for another fantastic one. But you're all in for another great show too, because Grant McCauley, I see him in the bullpen. He's gearing up. He's champing at the bit, trying to get in here, talk some Braves as they beat the Padres to wrap up the first half of their season. He'll have that, plus lots of MLB draft discussion here. Grant McCauley, the foremost baseball mind in this market, and he's right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's coming up right after me. But big thank you to Chris Marler. Big thank you to Caleb Johnson. We had a lot of fun here. Dom Taraski, great job as always. My name is Garrett Chapman. You've been coming off the bench with me. Till next time.